And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Amen. Isaiah chapter 52, beginning with verse 7. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. The word of the Lord. We pray. O Savior, child of Mary, who felt our human woes, O Savior, King of glory, who conquered all our foes, bring us at last, we pray, to the bright courts of heaven and to the endless day. Amen. Christmas is sleigh bells. Christmas is sharing. Christmas is holly. Christmas is caring. For those of us who are old enough to have lived through the 60s, we'll recognize these words from the song by Percy Faith. In his holiday classic, Christmas Is, he tried to capture the things that make Christmas, well, Christmas. The sights, the sounds, the sentiments. Apparently, this is what Christmas is all about. And most would agree. Wouldn't you agree? But if that is the case, I want all of you to go home. There is no reason for us to be here today. If Christmas is just about the sounds and the sentiments and the sights of Christmas gone by, then we have no business being here. Actually, Christmas is about much more than pleasant emotions and poignant memories. Christmas is about God. Christmas is about what God has accomplished for us. Christmas is all about God's faithfulness being made tangible on the pages of our human history. Christmas is all about how God has touched us, our hearts, and our lives with his love. So what is Christmas? Christmas is, well, for people who have nothing. It's for people who need everything. In a sense, this text from Isaiah is a 2,700-year-old Christmas greeting card from God. God originally sent this greeting card to the Jewish people who were in exile in Babylon, modern-day Iraq, in the 6th century AD, or BC. God also had the prophet deliver it to the people, the ragtag handful of people who had stayed behind in Jerusalem, the once proud capital of the Jewish nation. Can we fully imagine what was running through the minds of God's people? Whether they had been hauled off into captivity in Babylon or had been left as part of the remnant in Jerusalem, they must have believed that their world was spinning hopelessly and helplessly out of control. Their ancient homeland of Palestine, once promised by God on oath to their father Abraham, was lying in ruins. Their worship life was in shambles. They who used to offer up sacrifice after sacrifice on the great bronze altar in the courtyard of the temple were offering up no offerings anymore. In fact, that beautiful temple constructed by Solomon, had been trashed and torched by the invading Babylonian armies. Can we imagine the ache that filled their hearts? The sadness and sorrow that filled their lives as they offered up their prayers to God? For all intents and purposes, they had nothing. Absolutely nothing. Is this how God's promises to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob later on, and then to King David would end? With a whimper? In the desert of the ancient Near East? Would God prove unfaithful to his promises? Absolutely not. God is faithful. If there is one characteristic of God that we dare never forget, it is this: God is faithful. And this faithful God sent a message of hope to his weary and worn people. He said through Isaiah, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns." Can you imagine getting a greeting card at Christmas from God with that message? Your God reigns. Their world wasn't spinning hopelessly and helplessly out of control. God would bring the Hebrew captives back to Jerusalem. The Lord of the universe would intervene in world history. He'd grab the reins of governments of the world, and he would bring the mighty Persians in under King Darius to topple the proud Babylonian Empire. Can you imagine the news that the messengers would carry as they traveled the 1,700 miles between Babylon and Jerusalem to say, "Mom and Dad are coming home. Babylon is conquered. The exile is over." What a message of hope for people who had no hope. What a message of peace for people who knew no peace. Do you see why the feet of these messengers were beautiful? They were beautiful because they were bringing good news. We can relate to this, can't we? Aren't we a people who by nature have nothing? You and I have foolishly followed in the footsteps of our first parents, Adam and Eve, and we've forsaken our God. In our sinfulness, we've turned our backs on God and told him, "We want nothing to do with your will and your ways for our lives." And as a result, we really aren't at peace with God, not the way we are by nature. In fact, we don't deserve peace with God. We don't even deserve the little blessings which God gives to pretty much all of his worldlings: families, homes, jobs, and so much more. As we stand before our God spiritually naked, stripped of all false pretense, we see that our sins give God every reason to exile us to hell forever. God has every reason to say to us, "You go to hell for eternity." We, like the people of Israel's day, are people who by nature have nothing. Absolutely nothing. We may have our tinsel in our trees, our trinkets in our toys. We may hear beautiful Christmas carols on the radio, see all kinds of lights decorating house and home. We may enjoy the taste of a good Christmas cookie. We may even get a peck on the cheek under the mistletoe. But none of those can bring us the peace that we so desperately need. At best, they're just temporary distractions. Why is it that at Christmas time, people are so lonely and depressed? Why is it that at Christmas time, the suicide rates spike? Why is it that all of us so much miss our loved ones who aren't with us this Christmas? All the glitz and all the glamour of the holidays can't give any peace to our hearts. For that's not what Christmas is. Christmas is nothing, and we have nothing if we don't have God's good news, God's tidings of great joy, God's proclamation of peace. The eternal God of the universe powerfully intervened on the stage of human history at just the right time. When the set time had fully come, the Apostle Paul writes, God sent his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. We heard the evangelist John put it a bit differently in our gospel today. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. In the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, God brought his peace to our world, and he did everything necessary for us to be at peace with him. God's holy messengers came to our world, and their feet were beautiful indeed. On that first Christmas night, to shepherds who were watching their flock out on the fields outside Bethlehem, God's heavenly messenger came and said, "On earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." That peace is Jesus. Because we know Jesus to be our peace, the prophet Isaiah calls him the Prince of Peace, we can join our hearts and voices to sing, "Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled." This is Christmas. Christmas is celebrating what God has done to redeem us. This is what we need. Of all the gifts that we could possibly receive, none is bigger, none is better, none is greater than this, because this is the perfect gift. It's the gift that meets every single sinner's needs. And so Isaiah says, "Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem." Whenever you and I come across that word redeem in the scriptures, a word that means to buy back, our thoughts should immediately go to Jesus and his great redemptive work for us. Jesus is what Christmas is all about. He really is the reason for the season. Jesus, as the Son of God, became man that he could exchange his perfect life and death for our imperfect ones. Jesus came to pardon us without violating his own perfection. He came to redeem us not only from the punishment of our sin, but from the guilt of our sin as well. He came to buy us back from sin, from death, and from hell, and save us for an eternity in heaven. That's what Christmas is. Christmas is all about how God has provided for our greatest need in Christ. And we could stop there, and I could send you home. But Isaiah tells us something in addition to that today. He tells us that not only has God given us the greatest gift of all. He's unwrapped it for us. He says, the Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. God has revealed his holy arm to us. In the words of Isaiah, he has laid his arm bare. He rolled up his sleeves, so to speak. He went to work, and he did what had to be done to redeem us. Most of us, I believe, are familiar with the old Popeye the Sailor cartoons. Anybody not? What was it about Popeye that always seemed to happen? He always found himself in a tough spot, didn't he? An impossible situation. And what would happen? Bluto would pound him to smithereens. What would Popeye do? He'd grab his trusty can of spinach, eat that spinach, and pow, everything would change. Popeye would be a strong man. And as he showed his muscles, what did we see? A battleship, a keg of dynamite, something powerful and explosive. Popeye would reveal his strength by laying bare his arm. He would show off his muscles. Not trying to make an equal comparison at all, but in a somewhat similar way, God has revealed his mighty arm for us. God rolled up his sleeves, he went to work, and he redeemed us. But God's powerful strength didn't show itself in things like an army, or a powerful army going to battle, or a tank, or some superhero in the comics. God revealed his strength by wrapping it up in a little baby, in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. God laid bare his holy arm by living and suffering and dying for us, and then rising from the dead, all for our redemption, our deliverance, our peace, our comfort, and our joy. Again today, we've heard good tidings of great joy. A message from heaven itself has come to us and brought us the wonderful news of our redemption from sin, death, and hell. Every time we hear this Christmas message, every time we read God's own Christmas card of good news, we're reminded that we're not sentenced to live in this upside-down and inside-out world forever. In the manger of Bethlehem, God has come to assure us that he has a better life in store for us. And then on the cross of Calvary and in the open and empty tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, God has powerfully confirmed that that new life is a forever life. An eternal life with him in heaven. I'm glad you stayed. Because Christmas is more than holly and tinsel and sparkling snow. It's more than the sounds and the sights and the sentiments of all these Christmases gone by. Christmas is for people who have nothing, who need everything. It's for people like you and me. Christmas is God's own greeting card of peace and hope and joy for a world of fallen sinners. In the words of the Christmas gospel, it's the good news that will cause great joy for all the people. It's the message that today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. That, my dear friends, is what Christmas is. Merry Christmas.